Welcome. This is Ananda Vrindavan Devi, president of the Hare Krishna community near Washington, D.C. What follows is a Sunday lecture recorded at our temple. Every Sunday, we invite the public for meditation, singing, a lecture, and a vegetarian lunch. We'd love for you to join us. More information is available at isconofdc.org. That's ISKCONofDC.org. Thanks, and I do hope you enjoy the talk.
My experience is that when I give lecture, the questions and answers, they tend to go through prasadam. You know, they just go. People like questions and answers. And there's never enough time for questions and answers. So I just start with the questions and answers. That way we get enough time. Yes, question.
Prabhuji, I think we do devotional service for our happiness and for Krishna's satisfaction.
Yes.
Now, but what is the matrix for Krishna's satisfaction, whether he's getting satisfied or not?
So you're asking if I'm happy doing devotional service, does that mean Krishna's happy? Something like that?
There is a selfishness when we say I'm worshipping or I'm doing devotion service for happiness. There is a some motive, you know, for doing devotional service.
Yes.
So I'm selfish there.
Yes, that's true. You are correct. Pure devotional service is free from any desire other than the desire to please Krishna. Now, we have to explain. There's a paradox here. This is the paradox. Devotional service goes through different stages. And after you become free of material desire, you come to the stage of ruchi, or free of most desires. You come to the stage of ruchi. Ruchi means taste. That's when you become very happy in Krishna consciousness. That means the taste is always there. When you chant Hare Krishna, you love it. When you do devotional service, you love it. When you're with devotees, you love it. When you read Prabhupada's books, you just relish, you have a taste. And the stage before, two stages before that is called anartha nivritti, when the anarthas, unwanted desires, leave the heart. So serving Krishna with the desire to be happy is not yet pure. And it will prevent you from quickly coming to the stage of taste, where you'll actually be happy. Does that make sense? So it's kind of a paradox that the desire to be happy will prevent you from really becoming happy. Because when you serve Krishna purely, then you get this taste. You come to the level of ruchi, where you'll actually be happy. Now, he's thinking, or maybe you're thinking, but we tell people, chant Hare Krishna and you'll be happy, right? When I first chanted Hare Krishna, the reason I chanted was because I wanted to be happy. Is that why you chanted? Yeah, we all do. Then I moved in the temple. And then I sat down for the class. And in the class they said, don't chant to be happy. Chant to please Krishna. I said, you just changed me up. You brought me in with a nectar, and now you're going to give me the real truth. But that is the real truth. That's pure devotional service. We want to make Krishna happy. Right? And then you'll be happy. You'll be really happy. If you chant the holy name to be happy, in the beginning, that's good. But as you advance, it's not good. Just like what you do when you're 5 years old may be good, but when you're 10, it's not good. Take your medicine and I'll give you a lollipop. So that's what you do with a 5-year-old. But with a 15-year-old, you don't have to do that. You shouldn't have to do that. Right? Oh, Krishna, I will serve you, but... Okay, this is... Okay, let's get into this. All right. He brought up a good point. Most of you are Indians, or many of you have been to India. And you know, when you go to a temple, many temples you can buy a plate with bananas, coconuts, incense, and flowers, depending on the temple. But that's kind of the standard, right? Isn't it? Bananas, coconut, anything else? flowers, tulsi, like that. So how much do you pay? 100 rupees, 50 rupees? 50 rupees. That's less than a dollar. It's a good deal, right? Then you go to the pujari or you offer it yourself, right? Now, what are most people thinking? What will I get back for my 50 rupee investment? How about 1 lakh? That's a good return on your investment, right? $1,800 for a $1 investment. Do the math. You're not going to get a return like that anywhere, are you? No. So it's like we're doing an insurance policy. If I offer this, it'll be an insurance that nothing bad will happen and everything good will happen. Right? So that's common. That's very common in all religions. But that's wrong. Now imagine you were the deity. I don't want you to imagine you're God, but just try to imagine you were on the altar and people were coming up with their plates asking for an 1,800 times return on their investment. Here, I have this plate. Could you make my business work better? Could you help my son get this job? And you're sitting there listening to this all day. It's kind of get boring after a while, wouldn't it? And you'll just go, yeah, whatever you want, yeah, yeah. Just take it, yeah, whatever. And then a devotee comes and says, I've offered this to you, Krishna, please accept. This is all I have. How does that make you feel? Now, Prabhupada said, and he was telling the devotees how to offer to Krishna, and he said, you go to Krishna with an offering and you say, Krishna, this is all I have. It's not really valuable. I'm not really valuable. Nothing I have is really valuable, but I've brought it to you and I beg you accept it. So that's bhakti. And Prabhupada was crying when he said that. He had tears in his eyes. He broke him. He said, Krishna, you please accept this. And then Prabhupada said, always understand you're dealing with Krishna. Be careful. So that's bhakti. And one of the symptoms of surrender, there are 6 symptoms of surrender, and one of them is that Krishna will maintain me, and another one is Krishna will protect me. So a devotee has that confidence that Krishna will maintain and protect me. Now, let's take this further, because it's a very good question, because the whole principle of bhakti lies on the principle that I'm doing this to please Krishna. We have bhakti shastri. You study maybe 3 months, 3 or 4 months, and you do Bhagavad Gita, Nectar Devotion, Isha Upanishad, and Nectar of Instruction. So I have a condensed bhakti shastri for the Bhagavad Gita. It takes 5 seconds. And I'll give you your bhakti shastri degree in 5 seconds. Who wants to take the course? I'll put Brajabihari out of business. 2 people have signed up. Okay. Wow, 10 seconds, 5 seconds, you get the course. Wow. Save time. So, in the last chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Sarva Dhamma Paritaja. So I've given my condensation of that verse, which I think condenses the whole verse, the whole Bhagavad Gita. And Krishna says, this is my paraphrase of that. My condensation of the Bhakti Shastri. Krishna says, I love you. Will you love me? That's it. Bhagavad Gita. Finished. Here's your diploma. You understand that? Here's your diploma. I love you. Will you love me? And love doesn't mean here's a plate with a banana, a flower, a coconut, incense, and some... Well, Krishna likes tulsi. Yeah. But... and can you give me A, B, C, D, E, F, G for this 50 rupee offering? That's not love. And that's what Prabhupada came to teach. And that's what you will not find anywhere. Nobody's teaching that. Are they? You go into a church, people come up in the front. I didn't have any money. I didn't know what to do. A check came in the mail from my late Aunt Lucy. It was exactly the amount I needed to pay my rent. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. Isn't it? Have you ever seen? So that's considered God's mercy. But we don't look at it exactly like that. Because that's love coming one side, but what about us? So Krishna wants our love. That's what he wants. Now I'm going to tell you something really heavy. Lock the doors, because you're all going to want to run out when I say this. This is going to make you crazy. But Prabhupada said this, and it's very heavy. And I'll try to explain it. So don't hold on to the hand of your neighbor, because he might faint or she might faint when she hears this. You ready? Should I tell you? Prabhupada said, a pure devotee will not even ask Krishna for food if he's starving. Is that amazing? He'll just depend on Krishna. You know the story of, I think it was Srivas Thakur. He didn't work, but he was living. And Mahaprabhu said, how are you living? You don't work. Who knows the story? Anyone know the story? You know? This was Sri, Srivas Thakur. And he said, what did he say? He said, if by the end of the day Krishna doesn't feed us, then our whole family will go in the Ganga and kill ourselves. And he said, we're still alive. So that's the faith of a pure devotee. Not that you don't work, not that you don't make an endeavor. But a pure devotee, he doesn't want to ask Krishna. He just wants to serve Krishna. He really feels bad. Now, a pure devotee doesn't even ask Krishna for liberation. Okay, now let's look at this. I'm in the material world, and I realize it's a bad deal here because I have to die. Even if I make it really, really good, I have to die, right? So I have a nice house, everything's nice, but someday I'm going to die, and all my family's going to miss me, and I'm going to miss them. It's a bad deal. So somebody who understands that thinks, I want to get out of this world permanently and go back to God. That's still a material desire. It's called jnana mishra bhakti, bhakti mixed with the desire to be free from suffering. It's still a material desire. It's not pure. Then there's karma mishra bhakti. I want to use bhakti to get something material. There's a name for these things. You know, it's there in the Shastra. Karma mishra, jnana mishra. So even if I want to be free from suffering, go back to God, it's still not pure. So therefore, Prabhupada said, pure devotee doesn't even desire that. And he doesn't desire it because he's already liberated. Why would you have to go back to God if you're already liberated? And why would you pray to Krishna to be happy? Because when you're Krishna conscious, you are already happy. Yes? Happy, happy. Yes? At least theoretically speaking, we should all be happy. But when you become Krishna conscious, you become happy. So why would you pray to Krishna? Please make me happy. And when you become Krishna conscious, why would you pray for anything material? Because that's not going to make you happy. A devotee may pray for something material to help his devotional service. Please, Krishna, help me, because with this facility I can do service. So, if we pray to Krishna for something material, are we bad? No. At least we're praying to Krishna. But it's still not perfect yet. Because Krishna says, I love you, will you just love me? That's what Krishna wants. Now, I have to tell you something else. This is really amazing. Would you like to hear something amazing? This is really amazing. Nobody fainted on my last statement. Maybe you'll faint on this one. It's really amazing. One devotee said, Srila Prabhupada, why would Krishna care about me? Like Krishna saying, I love you, just love me. Why would he care about me? I mean, he's got the gopis, the gopas. I'm just, a Potomac Vasi or a D.C. Vasi, just, you know, working, you know, all day. And I do a little puja, but, you know, I'm not special. So Prabhupada said, if you have an infection in your finger and you go to the doctor, do you say, doctor, you can cut the finger off because I have 9 more, so it's no problem. Anybody say that? At least nobody here. Okay. So Prabhupada said, similarly, although Krishna has so many devotees, everyone is dear to him. Then, this is what we get from the acharyas. They say, they have told us, that the pleasure Krishna gets from every person is different from every other person. The pleasure you give to Krishna is special. That nobody can give Krishna the pleasure that you can give him. Isn't that interesting? Now, if you don't love him, you're withholding that pleasure. Ooh, you're a bad boy, you're a bad girl. Krishna wants that pleasure, you're withholding it. Isn't that interesting? Each one of us can give pleasure to Krishna in a special way. And Krishna hankers for that pleasure. Then the acharyas say that Krishna can reciprocate, or Krishna reciprocates with each one of us with a special kind of pleasure for us. Is that nice? Is that sweet? Now, our godbrother Garuda Prabhu, who is a great scholar, he didn't write the Bhagavad Gita, he wrote a commentary on the Bhagavad Gita. And the essence of what he wrote, and this is why he wanted to write it, he said, here's the essence. Krishna has everything, but there's one thing he doesn't have. What is that? Our love. He doesn't. So the way Garuda put it, he said, the one thing Krishna doesn't have and that he wants more than anything is our heart. He's got everything, but he doesn't have our heart, and that's what he wants. So I was just reading this morning that Prabhupada said, Krishna is waiting for you. Waiting for you too, and you, and you, and you, and me. Krishna's waiting for all of us. Now what's he waiting for? He's waiting for us to develop love so we can go back to him. When Gop Kumar, if you read Brihat Bhagavatamrita, Gop Kumar goes back to Godhead, so you get to read about what it's like to go back to Krishna. And Gop Kumar, you imagine meeting Krishna? You could write a nice song about it, right? Nice love song. Could you imagine the movie now? See the scene? Krishna's in the distance. He's coming back, herding the cows. And there you are. And Gop Kumar gets to Braj, the spiritual world, and he says, where's Krishna? And they say, he's coming back from the cows. And you see Krishna in the distance for the first time. At least the first time you can remember. And there he is. And Krishna sees you, and there's this intense love. And you run towards one another. And you embrace. And Krishna says, this is what Krishna told Gop Kumar. He said, I've been waiting for you. What a movie. We have any producers here? Directors? Someone want to go to film school? Make this movie. This is what Krishna, this is, I love you, will you love me? Here's the culmination. You get to meet Krishna, right? But you can't get there without love. If you're offering your plate to get something, you're going to be offering plates for millions of lifetimes because you're going to stay here. So Krishna wants that pure love. And Krishna's saying, I'm waiting for you. Now, I'm Jewish. And I think it's the Yiddish language, they have a word. Maybe you're familiar with it because it might be common. It's called putzing around. Does anyone know what that means? Only one? Putzing. We have to explain putzing, right? You could kind of understand what it means just by what it sounds like. Putzing around. Let's say you're late for a program, right? And your wife says, we have to leave in 5 minutes. And you get out some brass polish and start polishing pennies. It's time to get to going. That's called putzing around, just like doing nothing for, just doing something stupid for no reason. Just wasting time, expertly wasting time. Just, you know, or you know, it's time to go to a program and you decide, you know, the wall needs to be painted or something. Just wasting time. So in the material world, we have to see we're putzing around here from Krishna's perspective. What's so important down here that you have to take care of? I'm waiting for you. That's how Krishna sees it. And that's what Krishna's saying in the Gita. I'm waiting for you. But it's only that pure love that he wants. It's nice we do service. He likes that. It's nice we offer what we have. But the real thing is the love. And the service is a medium to express love. Right? Like you give a present. What's important? The present or the affection behind giving the present? Isn't the best present when somebody makes something for you? A sweater that was hand-knit? Wow! Isn't that the best? You know, someone gives you a scarf and you look and you go, Walmart. All right, you know, $8.99. Oh, they forgot to take the tag off. All right, you know, it's nice, you know. But someone knit you a nice scarf out of cashmere. Whoa! How nice. It took them 3 months. Yeah. So we do so many things for Krishna, but it's just a medium to show our love. Yes?
I'm not sure, other than service.
He's asking, how do you show your love? And it relates to this question. And this is very important for all of us. When you serve with the desire only to please Krishna, that's how you show your love. Now, you might say, but what if I have desires? Like, I want to be recognized for my service. Okay, you have the desire, but don't do it motivated by that desire. Do it only to please Krishna. Even if the desire is there, just tolerate that desire and do it to please Krishna.
But how do you do that?
Oh, very good question. Very good question. What our scriptures teach us is that we can control our motives. We may not be able to control our desires, but we can control our motives. When it comes to approaching Krishna, why we do it doesn't have to be affected by our material desires. I want to be rich, I want to be famous, I want to be successful, I want to do so many things. And they come to you, knock on your door, and they say, will you help us build this new temple? And you're thinking in your mind, maybe I could be the one to give the biggest donation and I'll get my name on the plaque on top, right? That's your conditioned side. But then your bhakti side comes and says, no, that should not be why I do that. And say, here's a donation, make it anonymous. Wow. You can actually do that. It may be difficult, but you can do that, right? Because you realize and say, I'm so proud. I just want to offer this money so everyone will appreciate me, and you know, every Sunday feast they'll be patting me on the back. And I realize that's wrong, and I realize I should just do it for service. So you could make that choice, right? So even though the desire is there, we can choose what will motivate us. So therefore, the definition of pure devotional service is not the amount of desire you have, but the pure motivation to serve Krishna. Now, how do we understand that? And we'll get to your question. Maybe it'll get answered in the conversation. I became a devotee when I was 19. Shastibar, how old were you? So he was 17. So Shastibar and I were 19 and 17. We grew up in America. You know what America's like. We grew up in the 60s. Crazy time, right? Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. All I need to kill my soul. And we became devotees, because we understood that we should serve Krishna purely. So even though we had all these other desires, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, we decided we're not going to act on them, but we're going to serve Krishna for his pleasure. So we're these young boys, we move into the ashram, we put on a dhoti, kurta, shave our head, tilak, and we go out just serving to please Krishna. But we're full of material desires, yes? Oceans, you know. But that's not why we joined the temple. That's not why we went out on Sankirtan. That's not why we cleaned the toilets. We did it to please Krishna. Raja Vihari forgot to mention my first service, which was cleaning the bathroom. Very nice service. Probably your first service also, right? When you join, you get to clean the bathroom, wash pots. But we were doing it to please Krishna. So we would clean the pots and get every spot off, because Prabhupada said there shouldn't be spots on the pot, not even on the bottom of the pot. Ooh. Any volunteers today to get the spots off the bottom? So I want to get the spots off the bottom because Prabhupada said there shouldn't be any spots on the bottom. That's what's motivating me. But I have all these desires. But I'm motivated to please. So if the motive is to please, that's called pure devotional service. So one time, they said, Srila Prabhupada, how many pure devotees are there in ISKCON? At that time, there were about 1,000 devotees. Got out his calculator. Didn't have an iPhone then, right? 1,000, Srila Prabhupada. Said, then there are 1,000 pure devotees on the planet. What did he mean? All these ex-hippies are pure devotees? He said, yes, because they're following the instruction of a pure devotee to please him. So if you just want to please Prabhupada, it's pure devotional service, even though you may not be a pure devotee, Uttama Bhagavat, but you're doing pure devotional service. So you can make that shift. Okay, I want to be famous, but I know what's wrong. So I'm going to offer this donation or this service just to please Prabhupada, just to please Krishna. So we have that choice because Krishna gave us that free will. You know, sometimes we say, why did Krishna give me free will? Because if he didn't give me free will, I wouldn't have come here. But now you're here. If he takes your free will away, you can't go back. So free will is a good thing, isn't it? Yeah? And if you're free will, you can choose to do pure, unmotivated devotional service. That's what it is. Yeah, that's what it's all about. That's what Krishna wants. And that's what Krishna's waiting. Krishna's so patient. He's waiting for every one of us to someday do pure devotional service. That's what he wants. That's what makes him happy. And if you make Krishna happy, do you think you'll be happy? Yes. Okay, now, let's say you're Bill Gates. You think, well, if I was Bill Gates, I'd be happy, right? But let's say you're Bill Gates, but your consciousness is full of hate and greed and resentment and jealousy and envy. Would you be happy? No way. But if you're Krishna conscious, then your consciousness is full of compassion, kindness, love, forgiveness, and you're happy. So when you're Krishna conscious, your material desires subside. Okay, I hope I didn't scare anybody. This was just, he's got to ask his question first. But it's okay if you have material desires because we all have them. And it's even okay you serve Krishna for material desires. But the goal is to purify them. That's the point. Because that's what Krishna wants. So he has a question and then we'll let you ask your question. Yeah. He's asking how to make the material desires go away. In the beginning of devotional service, they're not going to go away. So, two things. You engage them in Krishna's service. Like you like to do music, you like to write, you like to paint, you like to do business, you like to manage. You do that for Krishna. So you take your nature, you employ it in Krishna's service. Then you have desires which you can employ. You tolerate them. Now there's a nice verse in the Bhagavatam, one of my favorite verses. Who wants to hear Mahatma's favorite verse? Raise your hand. Only half of you? Okay, the rest of the half, leave, because you don't get to hear it. Okay. There's a verse in the Bhagavatam, and the devotee is saying, Krishna, somehow or other, by your desire, arrangement, I have all these material desires. Now here's the significant thing. The devotee says, but I'm never going to stop serving you. I don't care. It doesn't matter. In other words, he's saying, my determination to serve is so strong. My desire to serve, that's all I want. So these desires, they're just botherations. It's like you get a pebble in your shoe. It's a botheration, but it doesn't mean you're not going to walk home, right? So you have to see material desires as natural until you're purified. And so if your determination is to serve Krishna, you're good.
Is that a priority?
Yeah, yeah. Your intention, your goal. A man is judged by his ideals, so your ideals are what's most important. You want pure devotional service, that's your ideal, that's what you focus on, that's your determination. You'll be able to tolerate everything that gets in the way of that. There's a saying, obstacles are the things you see when you lose sight of the goal. So when you take your mind off the desire to be pure, then you'll focus on other things. So it's so important. If we have something that's distracting us from Krishna consciousness, it doesn't have to distract us. It just means we have to tolerate it, as we tolerate so many things. But when you're focused on, I want Krishna, you'll tolerate it. Yes? We have one more question, and then the cane comes? Is that it? Okay, we have one more question, and yes. Ooh. Who's ready to pray like that? Krishna, if you want, take everything away that's getting in the way of my pure bhakti. And if you want, put any difficulty in front of me that will help me be Krishna conscious. Who wants to pray like that? Yes. And all those who don't want to pray like that, I will come back next year and do a class on prayer so that you can pray like that. Now, I have to say something about this, because this is really important. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in one of his prayers, he said, Krishna, if you want, you can kill me. Wow. Who wants to pray like that? Any volunteers? We'll start a line. You can go, Krishna, if you want, you can kill me. Why did he pray that way? Because a pure devotee just wants to please Krishna. That's it. That's why he prays that way. He would never pray, Krishna, please don't kill me. Of course, we want to be protected for service. But that is a perfect consciousness. And that is how Bhakti Tirtha Swami prayed. You know that prayer? What I just recited was his prayer. Krishna, if there's anything getting in the way of our relationship, please remove it. If there's anything I need, any difficulty I need, please give it to me. Because we just want to love Krishna. That's all. So that's perfect. Thank you for mentioning that. And thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
This lecture was brought to you by the Hare Krishna Temple near Washington, D.C. For more information, please visit isconofdc.org. That's ISKCON of DC.org.